Well, I'm grateful to be here with you this morning, with you here that are physically here, those watching online. I can tell you this, that God is good. And maybe that's all you're going to hear from me today, and maybe the rest will be a blur to you, but listen to me. God is good. Say this with me. God is good. Now, here's the thing. We could carry on. I could make you repeat a bunch of other things. I won't. But God is good regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what you have or don't have, regardless of relationship issues, regardless of financial issues, regardless of everything, health issues. God is what? Good. And the thing is, you have to begin to believe that, that His goodness, literally He wants to outrun you with His goodness. But the thing is, if it's dependent upon your circumstances, you're going to have an issue. Because circumstances do what? They come and go. They're good. They're bad. There's all kinds of different variations of circumstances. But God wants you to know that He's good regardless of the circumstances. And how does He do this? He does it simply by having His Holy Spirit live inside of you. So you are no longer dependent upon the world for your happiness. As a Christian, as a born-again, Spirit-filled believer, you have something the world doesn't have. You have a connection to heaven. And with that connection to heaven, it doesn't change when circumstances are up or down or wherever. But the problem is, we live in this world, don't we? And so those, and we live in a flesh and blood body, right? And we hear things or we don't hear things, and things happen or don't happen. And it has an effect on us through our emotions, doesn't it? Can you say amen to that? That happens, right? But what we have to begin to learn is not allow that to direct our life anymore. But rather, it's a part of our life, but we are focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His leading and His guiding, and the ups and downs of our life will begin to smooth out. Why? Because He's constant. He's just like the North Star. It doesn't change. Is always there. We can always trust in Him. Amen? So we've been talking about, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about connecting to the Holy Spirit. Just because you're a believer doesn't mean you have a good connection to God. You know, the Bible promises when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He comes and lives in you. Can you say amen to that? That's a fact. But the problem is, are we conscious of His presence in us? And that's something that we have to work on. So we talked the next week about growing in the Holy Spirit, the idea of becoming more mature in His leading and His guiding. The next week, we interviewed Pastor Bob, 92-year-old Pastor Bob, still serving Jesus. Amen? Awesome. And so he talked about serving all those years. And it was great to have a living testimony of what serving is like. Last week, we talked about that we are empowered for boldness. Now, that doesn't mean, some of you, even when I say that now, you're like freaking out a bit because you're one of those, you know, an introverted and or a shy person, all right? And you're like, well, if I let Jesus, you know, do what He wants to do, He's going to change who I am. No, He doesn't change. Listen, if you're a shy person or an introverted person or you're spoken kind of person, God doesn't want to change that part of you. That's who you are. But the boldness I'm talking about is a confidence in who you are as a believer. In other words, when something goes wrong, whether you're shy or bold, you know that God has spoken to you and you're sure of what you believe. That's the kind of boldness I'm talking about. Not to become, you know, you were shy and all of a sudden now you're the life of the party. All right, that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about an inner boldness, a confidence. There's a better word. A confidence in who you are in the Lord. Doesn't everyone here want to be confident? Anyone here don't want to be? No, we want to be confident. And that boldness comes from the Holy Spirit on the inside. And so we talked about that. So what I want to do this week, again, it's still part of this series, but I want you to be empowered in a new way, empowered to overcome. Now, overcome what? Right away you're thinking, well, listen, doesn't the Holy Spirit want us to overcome every issue of life? I believe the answer is yes, but we're only going to look at a couple of things today. But let me lay a foundation scripture that I believe is really, really important. It's found in Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. You'll see it up on the screens here in a minute. But just have a look at this. Ephesians 2, verse 18. For through Him, Jesus, we have both access to the Father by one Spirit. And I love this. This is really important. First of all, we see all three, we see the Trinity here. We see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit here all together. A couple of weeks ago, I had, you know, somebody come to me and say, you know, who do we pray to? Do we pray to God the Father? Do we pray to Jesus? Do we pray to the Holy Spirit? How does this work? It gets confusing. And I remember as a young believer, I didn't have an answer then. But here's what I've learned over the years, and this scripture really shows this. I pray to the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, so let me just say that again, because it's all right there. For through Him, through Jesus, we have access to the Father by one Spirit. It's literally saying what I'm saying, all right? We pray to the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. So just like we're three parts, spirit, soul, and body, God is three parts, but He's one. Just as I'm one, even though there's three parts of me. So then the question is, well, what if for example, I was in a car accident a number of years ago, and all I could get out of my mouth before I hit was, help me, Jesus. Now, do you think God is okay with that prayer? Yes, He is, okay? What about if you pray, Holy Spirit, please guide me in this circumstance? Do you think God's got a problem with that? No, He doesn't, okay? So let me just tell you something. Don't worry so much about some of the terminology and making sure it's all this and all that. Listen to me. If you're crying out to the Creator of the universe, God, He will help you, all right? I just want you to realize that. Sometimes we figure we have to have everything just all in order and just got to say this just right. Can I tell you something? God is looking at your heart. So if you cry out to Him in prayer, He is there for you, whether you get it all quite in a certain order, okay? Because Jesus said this. He was talking in John, and He actually makes a statement. He says this, when I go, I'm going to return, and we will come and live in you. That's what He says. And it was in the context of speaking of the Holy Spirit and His Father. And so literally He's saying, we're going to come and live in you. In other words, you don't have a piece of God in you. You have the presence of God in His wholeness living in you. All right, is everyone, you follow me with this? This is so important. So as you look at this, it says we have access. That word, I love that. That another word for access is admission. So think about this. If you have an admission ticket to go somewhere, what did you do probably? You paid money, right? You went somewhere, you bought it, right? Or someone bought it for you and gave you an admission ticket. Okay, so in a sense, we as believers have been given an admission ticket. How did that happen? Did we buy it? No, we didn't buy it. Jesus bought it for us on the cross of Calvary. And as a result of Him buying the admission, paying the admission price, we have this ticket. But here's the thing. Just like if you had a real admission ticket to go somewhere, for you to enjoy that place, what do you got to do? You got to go. Take the admission ticket, say, I want access. Well, it's the same for you and I. We all have access because the price has been paid by Jesus for us to have that access, but are we accessing? You hear what I'm saying? Are we taking advantage of our admission ticket that's been given to us? And that's a question, really, that I want to ask you right now. If you want to grow in the presence of the Holy Spirit, you've got to access Him. You've got to choose to take that admission ticket and say, Lord, I have access to be able to talk to you. So I choose to talk to you today. So let me ask you this. Don't put your hand up. How many of you have talked to Jesus this morning? How many of you have taken the time to say, Lord, I just want to talk to you this morning. And access that because you have the ability to. He's waiting. You know, there was a number of years ago, busy life, things going on, and I used to come into the sanctuary to pray. And I just didn't. Just time, I could come up with all kinds of bad excuses, all right? But there's one day I finally just said, man, I need to do this. So I walk in, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and He said, Son, it's so nice to meet with you again today. And it broke my heart. Man, I just started weeping, realizing He had been waiting for me. You get what I'm saying? And I had admission, but I was so busy doing whatever I was doing, thinking it was important, and He was waiting for me. Let me tell you something. I'm nobody special. He's waiting for each and every one of you too. You have the admission ticket. It's been paid for. Have you accessed your admission? Just so important. Amen? And so let's move on in the scripture a little bit. It goes on in verse 19. Consequently, so in other words, as a result of this access, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. You know, I remember when I was going to school as a young person, I wasn't on the inside. In other words, you had the super jocks, they were there, you had the cheerleader people, you had all these different cliques, and I was the outside person. Some of you, you can relate, some of you, you were on the inside. But my point is, I felt disillusioned, I felt disconnected. Here's what this scripture has said. Regardless of who you are, where you've come from, you are now an inside man or an inside woman. You are part of the household of God. You were related to God. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus is your elder brother. It goes that far as to say that, that literally you're part of a family. And the thing is, with a real family, again, I don't know how your family was, but a real family means that you can just go approach your dad anytime and have a conversation. He's not going to throw things at you. He's not going to beat you. He's not going to yell at you. We serve a God in heaven that we can approach with freedom and confidence. Why? We're one of his kids. We have access because we're one of his children. Amen? And that's what that's saying. And then it goes on and says, look, you got this foundation of apostles and prophets with Jesus being the cornerstone. What's that talking about? Well, basically, here's what it's talking about, is that we now have the Word of God as a foundation in our lives, with Jesus being the cornerstone. Well, what does that mean? Well, back a couple hundred years ago, if you built a building, you started with one block in the corner, and from there you measured out and built the entire structure. And so when it says Jesus is a cornerstone, it means it's the starting block, the most important of all. But then the apostles and prophets, they were part of the blocks as well. Well, meaning what? They recorded into the Word of God the truths that you and I need to know. So let's go on now, because this is the cool part. So we go on, and it says, in him, Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises up to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, Jesus, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Doesn't get any more clearer than that. So basically, the first part of this scripture is talking about the fact that the temple is referring to the church in general, right? That we're God's representative down here on earth. But then, I love this last part. Then it says, but you too are a temple. We house the very presence of God in our lives, right? Think about that. And it says, being built together to become what? A dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That word dwelling, some versions say this, to be a habitation for his Spirit. Now, I live in a raised ranch house, so when you come in my front door, you can go either upstairs or downstairs, all right? And so here's how I relate this, is that, is Jesus inhabiting the basement of my house? Or is he up on the same floor with me? And so if I need Jesus, and let's say he's living in the basement, if I need him, I go to the top of the stairs and, hey, Jesus, I got this thing. Can you help me with this? And he kind of comes up and helps me and then goes back downstairs. Can I tell you, that is not the mentality you and I need to have. We need to have the mentality that he's living on the same floor we are, that he's not habitating some kind of basement dwelling, and my basement's being renovated, it's a mess. So he's not living in the basement that's a mess. He's living up where the living quarters are. And the thing is, this is the mentality in our lives. There was a song a number of years ago called Jesus Take the Wheel. Anybody remember that song? It's a country western song, and then it kind of crossed over, into the Christian world. And the idea was, this young lady is that, you know, her life was basically out of control, so Jesus, I need you to grab the wheel. Okay, listen to me. It sounds good. It was a good tune. It kind of bebop to it. You tap your foot. But can I tell you that doctrinally, it was wrong? Jesus is not going to take your wheel. It's your wheel to hold. And you're like, you're getting all, listen to what I'm going to explain to you. That wheel represents your life. Jesus is not going to take over your life. Though he inhabits your life, he is not going to take over control of your will. He is not going to usurp authority over you and make you do something you don't want to do. In other words, that wheel is for you to hold on to. Your life is your life. So then how does Jesus fit into all this? Let me help you. So if Jesus isn't supposed to take the wheel, then where does he belong in the car? So some people have bumper stickers, you know, Jesus is my co-pilot, you know, the idea that he's sitting beside you and you're kind of co-doing something. I kind of got a problem with that. Isn't Jesus the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? So where's Jesus then? Well, here's how I liken it. You're a limo driver, and you're in the front. You're the one driving the limo, okay? Now, who's in the back? What do you call the person in the back? You call them the VIP. That's the proper term if you're in a fancy limo. Very important person. And they're in the back. Now, though they're in the back, what do? They tell you where to go. You're driving the car, right? But they're in the back of the car, and yet they're still directing you and guiding you on where to go. And you follow their direction, right? So picture this. You are in control of your life. You can go wherever you want. You can do whatever you want. But there's a VIP that's part of your life, in the back seat of your life, sitting right there, who you can consult with, who has already been up the road of life that you're going. Already knows the pitfalls, knows where the bad roads are, where the rock slides are, where the trees are going to come down, knows where the storms are, knows where it all is, and he's right there ready to, you can talk to him. But what do we do so often? We grab the wheel and I can see where I'm going. I'm going to do my own thing. And we go along and then we hit a few things and a few accidents happen in life, right? And then we decide, oh, maybe we should ask the guy in the back. We should ask Jesus. That's not the way it's supposed to be. The idea is that you're supposed to, as you get in the car and you sit down, it should be VIP, Jesus, what are we doing today? And so you're not driving blind. All the time you're being guided by him, but you still have control. You see where I'm going with this? And so there's this balance. You're in control, but you're being led and directed by the presence of God for every part of your life. But if you don't ask, he won't say. You hear what I'm saying? Any strong-willed people here? You're lying to me. You are absolutely lying. You see, I got my hand up. I'm admitting it. Let me ask again. Remember, Jesus is watching you. Any strong-willed people here? Thank you. Okay, you can put your hand down. So you know how hard it is sometimes to begin to listen to that new voice in the back. It's hard. But we need to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to direct and guide us. Let me say this. If you want a prosperous, and when I say prosperous, I'm not just talking about money, just a wholesome, full life, you need to allow him to direct you. And not just direct you, but you obey his directions. See, it's one thing to hear from the Holy Spirit. Step two is actually to do what he's saying. But let me tell you something. He knows what's best. He absolutely loves you. He's got a plan for your life that's tailored fit for you. Are you willing to grab your wheel and say, Lord, where are we going? And let him take you wherever he wants to take you. It's better than any place you think you should go. I promise you that, amen? Okay, so here's what I want to do now. I want to look at a couple of areas of our life. Here's the reality of it. Do we want to overcome in every area of life? Yes, we do. But we would be here for about 6 months talking about every area. What I want to do is just take a couple minutes and just touch on a couple of places that I believe are super critical for us to overcome. They're kind of like foundation stones that if we can overcome in these areas, other areas will be easier. Okay? So let's start with the first one. And this is a toughie. We need to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to overcome in our past. Our past, okay? So 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So if you go back to verse 3 for a minute, his divine power, what is that? That's the presence of the Holy Spirit, all right? That's the Holy Spirit. And that word power there, there's two words for power in the Bible. One is authority. The other one is the dynamite power of God, the miraculous power of God. Well, this one is the miraculous power of God. So his divine, meaning his supernatural presence, all right, but also the dynamite power of God. So the miraculous power of God is what has given us, it's inside of us, right? Everything we need for godly life through the knowledge of him. That word knowledge doesn't mean, oh, yeah, I know Jesus. But no, you know him. You know his will, his ways, his methodology. You know his voice. You know his direction. You know his guidance. In other words, it's more than just a knowing, it's a doing part. And so you can have a godly life through knowing him in a very intimate way. All right, so then let's go on to verse 4 again. So it goes on, and then through these, in other words, through this divine power, because it's moving on, he's given us very great and precious promises, that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Okay, so let's just talk about this for a minute. We're reading through our Bible as part of our staff, as well as the church. We've got about 40, 45 people here that have joined us to do that. And if you're interested, maybe you're new coming here, and you're like, hey, I'd like to do that too. Well, you can. If you go into the lobby, don't go now, but when you go into the lobby, take your cell phone. There's a QR code. If you take a picture of it, it will hook you up to YouVersion, and you can do that and join our group. If you don't have all that fancy stuff or you're not technically able to figure that out, talk to any of the staff. We can email you the link so you can become part of it. So I say all that, that on Tuesday mornings when the staff gets together, we ask in the last week of reading, what did God say? And so concerning this area, my son Aaron made this incredible statement, which wasn't so much new to me, but connected some dots, and it just made me have an aha moment. And so we were talking about the precious promises. We were talking about how the children of Israel had left Egypt. How many people know that story? All right, left Egypt, you know, after being there in bondage for 400 years. And God had promised them what? The promised land, right? A land that flowed with milk and honey. Now, if they'd gone straight from Egypt to the promised land, to the land of Canaan, it would have taken them about 40 days. How many people know how long they were in the wilderness? Anybody guess? 40 years. Now, why? Well, they got to the border. They sent some spies in to check the place out. And the spies came back and said, look, there's enemies there. There's great big people. You know, there's no way that we can overcome them. And so they disobeyed God and turned away, all right? So we're talking about that. And Aaron made the statement. He said, you know, whether you're in the promised land or not, you're still going to have to fight enemies. Because if you go on and read, it turned out that even though they didn't go into the promised land to fight those enemies, there were still all these other enemies they had to fight. And so the point is, regardless of whether you're going to obey God or not, you got enemies you got to fight. So which is better? Deal with the enemies God has told you to face and have the promises, or not have the promises and still have to fight for your life. Which one would you choose? Well, that's a no-brainer, right? Let's go into the promised land. And so that's what you and I need to begin to do. We need to go into God's promises, have them, knowing that the enemy's there, knowing that we're going to have to deal with some things, but it's much better to have those promises, right? To have that fulfilled life, to be doing what God's called you to do. Because let me tell you something, when you're facing enemies and you have Jesus beside you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, amen? So listen, when you have Jesus on your side, the enemy hasn't got a chance in your life, amen? Okay, so let's move on to the next fact that leads us to the very next thing. So we talked about overcoming our past. The next area that we've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do is to overcome the enemy. 1 John 5, verses 4 to 5. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win the battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, I look at this, and I'm like, well, this should mean that every enemy I immediately am going to defeat. Does that happen in practicality in our lives? And the answer is no. Well, what does this mean? It says we have the victory through what? Our faith or our trust. And then it goes on, it says only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, here's the thing. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you believe that, right? You believe that he is. But here's the thing. There's much more to believe. In other words, that's like a foundation stone, right? To believe him as your Lord and Savior. But then how about believing him for your relationships? How about believing him for your finances? You see what I'm saying? You have to believe him for all these other areas as well. And so the victory comes as we allow ourselves to grow in faith and not let the enemy defeat us. Okay. So when I was going to school, one of the things that I was really good at was arm wrestling. You know, I was a skinny little farm boy. But I had strength just because on the farm, you just did a lot of stuff. So I was stronger than I looked. And so somehow I got into this thing where arm wrestling was a big deal in our area. And I never lost once. Now, can I wish I could tell you it's because I was the strongest guy. It wasn't. Let me tell you how I won. I won before the other person even sat down. Because I'd be sitting at the table, and, you know, you'd have different competitions. And so as the person's coming to sit down, I would look up at them and say, are you sure you want to do this? And they kind of look at me kind of confused. And I'd say, listen, it's going to be pretty embarrassing for you. You know, you're a pretty big guy, and, like, I'm just a little guy. And, like, when I beat you, you're going to look pretty sad. And literally, I'm trash talking. I'm just trash talking all the way through. And so they're by the time they sit down, they're trembling. I can feel it. When I grab their hand, and I know I've already got them beat. Had nothing to do with how strong they were or not strong. I had them beat in their head. I'd psyched them out. So I'd grab their hand, and I would give them the grip that made it seem like I was the Iron Man. You get what I'm saying? Like Hulk. I would just flex my finger, and I'm doing it, like, believe me, on the inside, I'm like, I got to make this look good, you know, and I'm just, you know, and by the time I was done trash talking them, and they said go, I just went, and they were done. Every single time. Now, I did really well all the way through, you know, middle school, up into high school, until this one day. I'm doing my trash talk thing, you know, and person comes, and they come and sit down. The guy looks me square in the eye, and he says, that won't work on me. Now, I gave my all, but I still, when I tell that story, my elbow still hurts. I swear that my elbow got yanked out. That joint got destroyed that day. I couldn't arm wrestle for a long time after that. Just destroyed me. Because he didn't give in to the psych that I was doing to him, to the trash talk. Can I tell you, that's what the devil does to you and I all day long. You know, you begin to rise up to do something in the Lord, and you hear the trash talk. You can't do that. Who do you think you are? You don't deserve that. God doesn't want to favor you. God wants to do this for somebody else, but not you. Look at what you did last year. Look at what you did 10 years ago. And all this trash talk. And by the time you get to the table, by the time you rise up to do what you're called to do, your knees are wobbling, your hands are shaking, and you just turn and go home. You've given up already. And this story comes to mind, what I was telling, because my grandson Abe, he's turning 14, so he's thinking he's all that for arm wrestling, right? So he comes to the table. This just happened last week. And I can't help myself. It's in me. I've been doing this for years, right? I'm trash talking the kid, right? So he sits down. I'm like, Abe, you're going to look really embarrassed, you know? And I literally felt his arm relax. I literally felt his grip lessen as I'm talking and talking. So I crush him, right? I can't help it. I crush him. And I said, Abe, let me tell you what I did to you. And I explained to him the very same thing that I told you guys. I said, I psyched you out. I said, come on, let's do this again. All right, so I had him grab my arm. I said, come on, you need to give it all. Now, I still crushed him. Okay, I can't help it. All right. But I said to him, I said, that's better. I said, there's going to come a day where you will beat me. I said, don't let the enemy do that to you. Don't let him psych you out like that. That's not the way it should be. Here's the thing. You and I are being psyched out all the time in our lives. See, the enemy can't destroy you spiritually. But if he can render you ineffective, if he can hurt you enough and wound you enough so that you're not sharing the good news of the gospel, if you're not being a light for Jesus, if he can kind of smother that light where it's just kind of like an ember that's just sort of burning, then he's happy with that. But can I tell you something? God wants you to be a bright light for him. God wants you to be an overcomer for him. You know, and the devil's going to come along. And here's the scripture. It says this let me make sure I get the quote right. 1 Peter 5:8. That we need to be aware of the schemings of the devil because it goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What's he doing? He's trash talking you. That's what he's doing. He's come along and he's trash talking you. But here, let me just read this scripture to you. Here's the deal. Proverbs 28:1 says this. The wicked flee, though no one pursues. But look at this. But the righteous are as bold as the lion. In other words, Satan comes along and says, I'm the lion. Roar. We're the lion. Roar. You get what I'm saying? In other words, we're the ones that are called to be the bold ones. We're the ones called to have confidence. We're the ones called to overcome. But the enemy's trying to psych us out. Come on now. Are you ready to be the lion? Jesus was called the lion of Judah, right? And we, in Christ's likeness, are to be that lion as well. And that's how we overcome the enemy, amen? So when some trash-talking enemy comes along, whether Satan through just words coming into your head or through somebody, can I tell you that Satan uses people? They'll come along and say, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? I can't tell you how much I've heard that over the years, even in my own life. And I had to come to resolve within myself, I know what God has said to me. And even some of the stuff, I might even say, yeah, you're right. But I know what God's told me. And I'm just going to keep moving forward. And God always follows through. Why? Because God is good. He always follows through. So let me leave you with the last point today. So we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to overcome in our circumstances. So John 16, verse 33. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You might say, well, how does this speak to circumstances? This is a big deal. How many people right now, and I'm not going to make you do anything other than just raise your hand. How many people right now, you've got something going on in your life, a circumstance that's not good happening in your life? Just put your hand up. All right. I'd say about two-thirds of you at least here have put your hands up. And I would agree that in my life there's almost always something going on of some sort. Now, here's the question that I'm going to ask. Do you allow that negative circumstance to affect you emotionally? In other words, does it pull you down and kind of suck the life out of you? Or do you recognize that's a circumstance, I need to deal with it, but I choose to walk with God? And that's what the scripture is talking about. He says, I've told you, in fact, you see the diversity of it. So look, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. So here's Jesus saying, look, it, I've told you about things that are going to happen on this earth, but you're going to have peace. But then the very next line it says, but in this world you're going to have trouble. You know, is Jesus schizophrenic? I don't think so, right? Even though it would appear that it's opposites, right? Well, he's not schizophrenic. He's basically saying, look, I want to give you an inner kind of peace. That word peace there means to be at one with. Well, at one with what? Your circumstances? No, at one with him. At one with the presence of God in your life. That's what he's saying, that you can have an internal kind of peace, because in this world, your circumstances are up, down, around, everywhere. But are you able to maintain your integrity, be at one with God, and have an inside kind of peace? Now, I'm going to say something. It's going to affect some people here, maybe, and you might even get mad at me. And it's this, that if you let your circumstances direct how you feel, then you're going to be up, down, around, and everywhere all your entire life. And here's what you do. Now, I'm not pointing at anyone specific, but if you're that kind of person, here's what happens in your life. Something bad happens, all right, and it brings you down. And then here's what you do. You point your finger at that and you say, it's because of that that I feel this way. Now, if that's you, just keep looking at me, keep smiling. Nobody will know it's you. But let me tell you something. Even if that gets resolved today, guess what? Something else will take its place tomorrow or a week later. So that means that your entire life you're doing this. That's the problem. He's the problem. Oh, she's the problem. This is the problem. You get what I mean? You're doing all this finger pointing. And you, let me tell you something, your life will be miserable. I'm just going to tell you that. You're going to have a miserable life. The people around you are going to be miserable, because it's just, that's what it creates. But here's the thing. What you need to come to a place of is realizing circumstances come and they go, but Jesus is here to stay. And to be at one with him with peace in your heart. So when that circumstance happens, I'm not asking you to pretend it's not there, but to say, Lord, I know you're aware of this, and I ask you to guide me and help me. But while that's happening, I'm going to keep following you. That's to be at oneness with God. That's how you and I are to overcome in this world. You know, I know that you go to a beauty pageant and they ask the people there, you know, what do you hope for? And everybody says, world peace. You know, they say world peace. I got news for you. Jesus said until the end, there will be wars and rumors of wars. So forget that, all right? So in other words, the outside isn't going to fix the inside, but the inside can fix the outside. If more of us walk in the peace of God, do you know that it affects your family? Affects your job, it affects your school, it affects everywhere. But if you keep trying to fix the outside before you let Jesus fix the inside, you're just going to be trying to put out fires your whole life. Amen? We overcome by allowing Jesus to be our peace. Amen? Let's stand together. So Jesus has a solution for every area of our lives to overcome. I've only given you, you know, four examples, but every single area of your life. Now, let me talk about the most important overcoming solution he's got for you. And that's for you to be saved. So I don't know everyone here. And I want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You see, you can't overcome unless he lives on the inside. And he only can live on the inside if you invite him into your heart as Lord and Savior. So just with every head bowed, just for a moment, I just want to put this out that if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you might say, well, how do I know? Well, if you can't name a moment or a time or a place that you said yes to Jesus and invited him in and told Jesus that you want to turn from your sins, if you don't remember a moment like that, then you're probably not born again. So why don't we make today the day you can be sure? So if you'd like to become born again, if you'd like to become a child of God, become an inside man or an inside woman, just slip your hand up in the air so I can see it. That's all I'm asking you to do. I see that hand, thank you, at the back. I see that hand there, that hand as well. Anyone else? Three hands I saw. Anyone else? Just want to make sure. Saw that hand over on my right. Yes, see those hands. Okay, hands down. Let's pray together. But for those that put your hands up, this prayer, if you mean it, you're going to be changed today. So let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I invite you right now to come into my heart as Lord and Savior. You gave your life so I could have life and be an overcomer. I choose to leave my old ways of life and follow your direction moving forward. Help me and guide me by your Holy Spirit until I see you face to face in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, either let me know or let the person back at the back where we hand out the gifts and that, let us know you've made this decision. Let's finish here in prayer. So, Father, I thank you for every person here. And Lord, we all have things that we need to overcome. Each and me too. We all have things. And Lord, I thank you that you are the great overcomer, that in you we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So, Lord, I pray that as we face some of the obstacles, face some of the things that the enemy tries to throw at us, that we will go with a different perspective moving forward, that we'll be able to see the schemings of the enemy and be able to look him in the face and say, that may be true, but I'm not giving in to you. And that we will go in all of our strength and all of our might in the name of Jesus, in the authority he's given us. So Lord, bless each person. I pray, Lord God, that they'd have a greater God consciousness of you this week. They would consult with you and hear your voice more clearly as they move forward in their life journey. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you this morning.